We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Welcome. Thank you. So if there's anyone else I left with from outside the country, please, you're welcome. Let us know. We always are honored to have guests worshiping with us. If you're from around Sheffield or somewhere else, we also want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us, for choosing SCC as your place of worship for this Sunday. Amen. If I'm correct, I think the children are staying in, and the youth. Obviously, my champions are parents. You're welcome to parent your son or daughter. If parenting is difficult from this auditorium, it's open on the other side, the Jubilee Room. You can always do parenting from there. The good thing about being in the Jubilee Room is you have your coffee early. Okay, so there you go. I want to. Oh my goodness, the screen at the back, it helps me with time. Okay. I want to share a few thoughts as we finish the year from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Just a few insights from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, as we round off 2023, which went so fast, and 2024 will even be faster. If you want to get married in 2024, you're okay. It's going to come quick. Your wedding day is coming quick. Hallelujah. So we meet later tonight at 8:30. So I'm going to just share a few thoughts, but it'll be different from what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight, basically, from 8:30 to about 9:30 or so, we'll be praying. So if you want to do lots of praying, please come early. Then later on, we'll do testimonies and praise and all the other things. And then do some preparation in terms of the Word of God. So 8:30 is basically prayer. If you're walking in at 8:30, don't be surprised. We're praying together. I made a decision many years ago that I'll enter the year, a new year, with in the house of God. I made that decision about 20 years ago. So every year, at about this time, this date, I'm in the house of God. It doesn't matter where I am. I'll be in God's house. But that's my decision. You can make yours. I want to just share a few thoughts from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. I'll read from verse 1 to 8. Gospel of John, chapter 12, from verse 1 through to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus... can we use ESV? I'll read it from the screen. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Verse 3, Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Let's keep going, guys. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Verse 7, and Jesus said, "Leave it alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." Verse 8, "For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to talk about, the title of my message is At the Master's Feet. At the Master's Feet. The religious leaders at this time were meeting and plotting. They had made a decision that we need to take Jesus Christ out. That decision was now made. But his friends were meeting actually to show their love for Jesus Christ and their devotion to him. And the occasion here is in a house owned by a guy called Simon the leper. But it apparently this Simon the leper was healed by Jesus Christ. And it so happens that they hosted a dinner for Jesus Christ in the house of Simon the leper, who was no longer a leper, by the way. He was now healed. And Lazarus was invited to this place. And remember, Lazarus is the guy in chapter 11 who was raised from the dead. And so he was in this temple. And Lazarus came with his two sisters, Martha and Mary. So this is the setting. And they're in Bethany. Bethany is 6 miles away from Jerusalem. So in all the Gospels, this lady is mentioned, or that this occasion is mentioned by all the Gospel writers. But it is only John who tells us the name of the woman. And the name of that woman is Mary, a sister of Martha and Lazarus. Now, a lot is not said about Mary in the Scriptures. In fact, her only words are recorded in John chapter 11, verse 32. Those are her only words in the whole of the Bible, where she's talking about, where, in fact, when she speaks to Jesus, it was when Lazarus had died, her brother, and she repeats the very words that Martha had said to Jesus. Says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Those are the only words recorded from the mouth of Mary. We know a lot about Mary Magdalene, but this one we hardly hear. So I want to pick a few things from this lady here. She was a deeply spiritual woman. Deeply spiritual. She's mentioned 3 times in the Gospels. And this is what struck me when I was reading about Mary. In all the 3 times that Mary is mentioned in the Bible, it turns out that her location was the same place. She was found in the same place. And that place is at the feet of her master, at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want to just look at 3 questions today. What was Mary doing at the feet of Jesus? Because that's an important question. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, it's an important question to ponder. As we finish the year, yes, you were busy. Yes, there were many things that you were doing. But my prayer is that as we think about 2024, we need to think seriously about where will we be found? What will be our location in the spirit realm? Physically, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, but spiritually, she was deeply in love with Jesus. Mary was sitting at the feet. What was she doing? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Scripture has to tell us what she was doing. Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, where she's mentioned the same thing. She's with Jesus. And this time, Martha is serving. Can we put it on the screen? Luke 10, 39. Scripture says, and she had a sister called Mary. It's talking about Martha. Martha had a sister called Mary, and Mary was at the Lord's feet. What was she doing at the Lord's feet? Someone help me. What was she doing? She was listening. I would add the word listening attentively to his teaching. Now, you would say, maybe you might agree with me, but in those days, this looked like it was a men's meeting. Because Martha was running around serving. And at that point in that story, Martha actually rebukes the Lord. Says, why are you leaving this woman who's supposed to be in a ladies' meeting located in the kitchen? How is it that she's getting away with it sitting here? Oh, man. But Mary's location, it did not matter. It did not matter where you were. Mary's location was at the feet of the Master. That's where you will find her. And why is she at the feet of the Master? To listen to his teaching. That's Mary for you. So, but there's another thing as well here. Mary was not moved by things that were happening in her life. When the Master was around, everything shifted to the feet of the Master. Another place where she's mentioned is in John 11:32, which we read. No, we didn't read today. John 11, verse 32, the Bible reads, this is the occasion when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead. And it says, now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell where? Where did she fall? At his feet. Saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You must notice that these are the very same words that Martha had said earlier on to Jesus. But nothing happened. In fact, Jesus gave Martha a massive teaching on the resurrection. He says, I am the resurrection. I'm here. I am life. And Martha says, I know that. I know that my brother will be raised at the end of time. And Jesus says, no. I am the resurrection. But nothing happened. Mary comes, says the same words. The difference was posture. So Mary falls at her feet. And when she does that, you will notice in verse 35, Jesus is moved emotionally and he weeps for Lazarus. And then action follows. Lazarus is raised from the dead. Same words, different posture. It's the location. You see, when you're dealing with God, it matters where you are located in the spirit. Because we can all be in the house of God, but someone is located in a fuel station, someone is located in Costco, someone is located wherever. Maybe you're already celebrating the new year in someone's house right now, but you are here. Am I spoiling somebody's New Year's party? Listen, location matters in the spirit. It matters. It matters. There is a location that provokes God to do something. Okay. Then there's another part where we read John 12, verse 3. Remember, we're trying to find out what was she doing where? At the Lord's feet. Now, on this occasion, in John 11, she was sharing her burdens to the Lord. She came to offload a heavy burden in her heart that my brother has died. So she comes and says, Lord, this is a safe place for me to offload, but I'm going to do it while I'm at my feet, and I'm just laying it out to you to do something about my problem. Thirdly, she came to his feet in John chapter 12, verse 3. This is where we read from today. When she was wiping his feet, what do you think was her posture? Was she standing? This is a cultural society. This is a conservative society where women would normally do most of the things on their knees. So she comes to Jesus and she pours this expensive ointment onto the head of Jesus and onto his feet. And then she undoes her hair and starts wiping off his feet. So now here's the thing. She came to his feet to pour out her worship to God. That's what she was doing. She was at his feet to worship God. That's why she was there. So it's a good place to be found at when we're talking about worship. But I want to move on to the next question. What was the atmosphere in each of these encounters with Jesus? Because there was a certain atmosphere It is interesting to note that in each of these instances, there's some kind of fragrance that was touching people and the room she was in. There was something being released into the atmosphere in each of these three encounters with Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 10, for example, the occasion was a dinner. So there was food. The atmosphere was filled with excitement about food. Amen? Say amen with me. It's New Year's Day tomorrow. Come on. We were gracious enough to start prayer and fasting on the 2nd. Celebrate tomorrow. Amen. All you like, but listen, on the 2nd. So we're in Luke 10 tomorrow. Someone say we're in Luke 10 tomorrow.
Amen.
We're in Luke 10 tomorrow. This was a dinner hosted for Jesus Christ. And so the atmosphere was full of fellowship. But not only fellowship anyhow, but fellowship ministered to you by the word of God. Because Jesus was teaching while they were eating. But I'm not even sure whether Mary was eating that day. She just sat at his feet and took it in. Because she was also a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. So that's Mary. The atmosphere was fellowship. When we're talking about being at the feet of Jesus, we're talking about fellowship. We go to Jesus to have fellowship. But we go to Jesus also with the word of God. We want to drink from the word of God. We want to be hungry for the word of God. Don't let the year just close without you hearing from God. Seek the word of God. In John chapter 11, the atmosphere is completely different. In John chapter 11, it's about death. Jesus is facing, Lazarus is dead. So the whole, it's a funeral basically that Jesus walks into. And in this funeral, there's a smell of death. There's sorrow. There's mourning. There's grieving. There's pain. When Jesus walks into this atmosphere, she's coming in, but, he's coming into this atmosphere, but he's waiting for someone to trigger the power of God. And it is Mary who triggers the power of God. Mary takes a certain posture. She falls at his feet and says, "If you were here, my brother will not have died." And with those words, the atmosphere in the funeral is shifted because Jesus came to that place. It's not just the coming. And you will notice that when Jesus came, he did not go into the house. He stayed outside the periphery of the homestead. It is Mary who came to him. And when she came to him, she said some words and did some postures that provoked the power of God to then change the atmosphere. So 2024 can be changed. The atmosphere can be changed. And the reason I say that is because Jesus is in the business of changing atmospheres for his children. He's able to do this. He's able to do this. We can press into God and trust and believe that God can change our situation. 2024 does not need to be same old like 2023. It doesn't have to. Let Jesus show up. It will look different. Then in chapter 12, the atmosphere is different. This time, it's a sweet fragrance. Because what Mary does is she opens this expensive perfume. Very expensive. Nard was found in Egypt. She opens it. You know when the real perfume has been opened, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
You know it. It's unlike the one you buy from, I won't mention names. When you are using it, you use it for only 2 days. First day you put half of it, it goes all over. The next day you finish it off. In fact, we are even shocked it's finished. Because it looks like it evaporates even when you put it back. But this is not the kind I'm talking about. This is the kind that you can't shake off your clothes. You shower all you like, it's still on you. This is the one. So Judas knew it. The moment the sweet fragrance hit the room, Judas was thinking, my goodness, how much have we lost? Does she have an idea how much this perfume costs? My goodness. We could have sold this and given the money to the poor. So the fragrance here, perfume, there's something sweet about perfume. God smells some of our sacrifices as sweet fragrance. It comes to him as sweet fragrance. He loves it. Jesus loves worship. It's like sweet fragrance to him. So when Mary opened this expensive perfume, she gave Jesus her best. And her best was worship. So moments of worship are not moments to be looking around and thinking about all your problems, thinking about what you're cooking after here, thinking about what's happening tomorrow, where am I going, how will I get there. This is not the occasion, not for Mary. Mary would not do anything when she was in the presence of Jesus Christ. She would just sit at his feet. Martha's run around. You see, there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. We have many Martha-like type of people in our church, and God bless them. They are wonderful people. The problem comes when you want to run around at the wrong time. It's the timing. Church needs a balance of worship and work. There's a timing to these things. There needs to be a balance. It's same in your Christian life. There is time for everything. There is time for worship. Worship is an important... You don't need the band. This is the thing. You don't need the band to worship God. I'm sure you figured that out by now. So a church that has no singers, gifted singers, does not need to cancel worship. Is that true? You don't need worshipers. They help us, which is good, but really, we are worshipers by nature. We are worshipers. We were designed to worship God. Now, the last part is this. What does it mean to be found at the master's feet? We now know what she was doing. We now know the atmosphere that was around her. Now we want to look at, what does it mean to us in the 21st century, right here? What does it mean to be found at the master's feet? The first thing is that, give Jesus first place in your life. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Mary sat at his feet, and what she was doing is she was listening to the word. Now, here's what I want to say. What we do with Christ is far more important than what we do for Christ. Can I say that again? What we do with Christ is very, very important. So much that it can even surpass what we do for Christ. I'll tell you why. At some point, the church had come to a place where it believed that you are saved by works. There was a time like that in history, where if you came to church and ran around and cleaned and did everything and gave money and everything, then you were saved by those works. And then Martin Luther, a German monk, a priest, one day was reading the book of Romans. He came across a scripture that says, the just shall live by faith. And then it hit him that salvation is not by works, salvation is by grace. It is the grace of God that delivers us from a life of sin, from a life of lostlessness and hopelessness. It is the grace of God. It is not by works that man may be saved. It is by grace. It is by faith through. It is by grace through faith, of course. Ephesians 2:8-9. It is by grace through faith that man is saved. So when we're talking about giving first place of your life to Jesus, we are saying you prioritize spending time with God, not for God. You can even be a pastor and not be saved. You can preach the word of God and still not be saved. So salvation is by grace. We need to emphasize this because when you have a church leader who's not saved, imagine the darkness in that place. Or people who grow up among Christian parents, the first generation, where you grew up in a Christian home, mom and dad, and then when you ask, when were you saved? I'm not sure. I grew up in church. But when did you give your life to Christ? I'm not sure. If you didn't give your life to Christ personally, we said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into, forgive me for my sins. If that did not happen in your life, you need to make that right. So she listened to his word. She didn't just come to church. She listened to his word because the word gives life. The word has life. That's what the disciples said. When Jesus preached a hard message the other time, and then people were leaving the church. People were leaving. And then Jesus says to the disciples, so do you also want to leave, Peter? And Peter said, oh, where can we go? You have the words of life. Your words are spirit. That's what Mary was sitting under, the word of God. Amen. It was an act of faith. It was an act of love. She knew. See, without Christ, without us being linked to Christ, without Christ we can do nothing. We need him. We need to put him first in our lives, and we cannot live by bread alone. We cannot live by bread alone. I know people say, Pastor, I've got to go to work. Pastor, you don't understand. This is very important. I actually do know. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision. Is Christ first place in your life? 2024 cannot be the same. You have to make some decisions. Mary, there was a lot happening around her. Don't forget that. Martha was running around. Martha was running around preparing a massive dinner for Jesus to eat. And nothing wrong with that. The problem is there was a teaching going on. It is so, so important, church, that we spend time at the feet of Jesus Christ. So, so important that we take time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Every single day, let him share his word with you. Every single day, sit down, have a sit-down time with Jesus Christ and spend time trying to hear the voice of God. We need to do this. In my line of work, which is pastoral ministry, I meet people going through serious problems. And one of my favorite questions is, so how are you doing with the Lord? How are you doing? Tell me about your devotional life. And you know the most common response? The most common response is, I stopped reading my Bible and praying a long time ago. And they wonder why they're having problems. Are you surprised? If you stop that practice, that discipline of being in the Word of God, in season and out of season, when trouble strikes, and trouble does come, okay? It does come. That's what, it's a fallen world. So trouble will come. Your stamina to stand and overcome is wired to your devotional life. Not to the preaching. To your own personal devotion. See, preaching, we're trying to encourage you. We're trying to, but these are headlines. How many of you know that? You don't grow through a Sunday service. I'm sure you're aware of that by now. No matter how anointed your preacher is, you don't grow through a Sunday service. We're not doing Bible study. We're trying to encourage us to spend more time at home seeking the face of God. That's what should be happening. So put God first in your life. Tell a neighbor, put God first in your life. Tell the other neighbor, please put God first in your life. Just in case the other neighbor is frowning at you, you might be in trouble. So you add the word please. Number two, give God your best. Give God your best. Mary anointed the head of Jesus Christ and his feet with expensive perfume. Now, she didn't end there. In the Jewish culture, the glory of a woman is her hair. So, in those times, women used to cover their hair. Okay? Especially among men. So what Mary did that day, she loosened her hair and wiped Jesus' feet with it. And then she put the ointment, expensive ointment, on perfume on his feet. No wonder Judas says it's a waste what you're doing. Because how do you take that kind of a perfume and put it on somebody's feet? That's already a crazy thing to do. Is that true? Because when you give God your best, it looks crazy to the world. A woman's hair is her glory. So she surrendered her glory to the Lord. She didn't care. She didn't care who said whatever. She said, I'm going to undo my hair and I'm going to worship God. I'll give him this precious gift. This precious gift that I think it was with a yes word. She took it, opened it. But already her hair was all over the place and she uses it to wipe the Lord, her master. She was at his feet. This is a pure act of love. This woman had no handbrake in the love of Jesus. You know, sometimes as Christians, we are okay with Jesus Christ, but there are some areas of our lives where we say, Lord Jesus, I take over from here. This one, leave it to me. Now, that's a compromised life. You know, everything else, I'm coming to you, Lord, in prayer. But when it comes to this habit of mine that I enjoy, Lord Jesus, please close your eyes. Young people, when it comes to this particular app on my phone, Lord Jesus, please, please pass me by. When it comes to this particular program on TV, Lord, please pass me by. I know you don't sleep nor slumber, but as for this moment. Now, those kind of accommodations are a problem in heaven. Because God wants all of you. God wants all of you. God wants pure love and devotion. That's what the fragrance brings to the house. It changes everything, but give God your best. Give God your best. Mary gave God his best because Mary had a revelation that Jesus is now going to the cross. So let me preserve his body. That oil was a preservation of his body. She didn't wait until Jesus was dead and bring flowers. Jesus was going to die. But Mary says, I don't need to wait that far. I need to show him now that I love him while he's still here. What are you waiting for? You're waiting until you get a job and show love to God? You're waiting until you're married to show love to God? If you're waiting to get married, can I just say something to you? If you're not praying now before you get married, what makes you think you start praying when you're married? Oh, you're quiet. It's okay. Am I dashing hopes here? Don't get me wrong. Marriage is a lovely thing. Marriage is a wonderful institution. It's a wonderful place to be. When I was a young man, running around for God, worshiping God, and I was crazy for God, this guy one day looked at me and says, can I have a word with you? I said, sure. And he says to me, you know marriage is different. I said, yeah, I have no idea, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Then he says, well, you keep talking about these prayer meetings, calling them nonstop. We will see what will happen when you get married. My goodness. I was like, this guy, you know, he was wrong, of course, because my prayer life did not change. Obviously, it was based on the choice of who I was marrying. That's why my life did not change, my prayer life. But there are challenges. Right? There are challenges, you see. Because when you get married and you have a baby, and this little baby of yours cannot sleep all night, and you have an appointment with God every morning at 4 a.m., and this baby happens to wake up at 3 a.m. Now, that affects your prayer life. No matter how anointed you are, it affects your prayer life. All it needs is adjustments, right? So I'm saying those are challenges. They can be overcome. But if you don't transition properly, it will be a challenge. So marriage is a lovely thing. For those of you that it's a lovely thing, pray for it. But what I'm saying is enter it with a clear devotion to Jesus. Don't make adjustments to devotion to Jesus and blame your wife or your husband. That ever since I married her, I can't pray anymore. Were you praying before? Say example. Tell a neighbor example. I don't want to cause problems at the end of the year for anyone here. Don't get me wrong. Amen. So don't wait to love God. Love Him today and give Him your best. Don't wait until you are older. Don't wait. Do it now. Give Him your best today with what you have, with where you are. Give Him your best. Give Him your best. Don't wait to get a job. Then I will wait. No. Don't do that. Worship God now. And finally, this is probably one of the most important ones for today in the 21st century. Do not be afraid to be misunderstood. Do not be afraid to be misunderstood in what you do for Jesus. On all three occasions, you will notice that when Mary came to Jesus' feet, she attracted attention. Coming at Jesus' feet was the position of a slave. The law of the law, lowest servant. When she came to Jesus' feet, she was taking that position. She was taking a humble position. The world did not understand what she was doing, but heaven understood her perfectly. Heaven understood her clearly. So notice that in the first instance, in Luke chapter 10, when Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, she was misunderstood by her own sister Martha. Martha thought that she was skiving, running away from duty. But Jesus defends her. You will be misunderstood by those close to you. And where was she sitting? At Jesus' feet to hear the teaching of the word of God. Whenever you choose Jesus, there will be misunderstanding somewhere along the line. If your husband or wife is not a believer, there will be a challenge when you devote yourself to God. Or if he or she is a believer but on the borderlines, there will be a challenge, because when you choose to love God, you threaten your surroundings. Young people, When you choose to love Jesus Christ, you'll be misunderstood. They've got all names they give you if you're a young person. I think freak is the mildest of all. Call you a Jesus freak. That's a mild one. They're good names. What's this thing about Jesus? What's this thing about church? What's this thing about this or that? You will get that. It's normal. Don't think you're losing anything. It's normal. I'm always surprised by 21st century church that we are the only generation that tries to be like the world. We are doing everything we can to look like the world, to sound like the world, to dress like the world, to speak like the world. We are the only generation that does that. So, how can we change that which we want to look like? How? How do we reach people that we are jealous of? So, when we see a successful person who is not a Christian, nothing wrong with success. So, a Christian now wants to abandon it's called deconstruction. So we deconstruct our faith so that we may look like that person down the road who's not a Christian but is successful. Code name for that is, I want what is God. And heaven has a name for that. Covetousness. But we sanitize this language now. We don't talk about covetousness in church now, do we? It's a weakness. Mary was misunderstood. They misread her intentions. So they called her all sorts of things. But look at John 11. She was misunderstood by her friends and neighbors. So Mary is sitting. People have gathered to mourn with her. And what she does is, When Martha whispers to her and says, the master is here, she stands up quickly and dashes out. And then they follow her because they're thinking, what's wrong with her? We've come to mourn with her. And she's walking us, she's leaving us in here. So they follow her thinking that she's going to the tomb. But actually, she was going to meet with Jesus. She was going to meet with Jesus. It did not matter where she was. When she realized that Jesus is in town, Jesus can change my life. The mourning is happening. The grieving can happen. Songs can be sung in this room, but the spirit of death is here. Lazarus is not going to change. Nothing is going to change in my life. So I'd rather change my location and be found on Jesus' feet, because when I'm at his feet, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I can't sit home because I have no job. Nothing will change while I'm at home without a job. I might as well go to church and cry out to God and say, God, I have a burden in my heart. I need a job. But I'm at his feet. What's the point? What's the point of mourning and crying in your own house alone instead of being with God's people? Where are you? I don't even know where we get this thing from. This generation now, do you know that when something happens that destabilizes me at work, at home, or whatever, the first thing that suffers is the church. I'm not going to church anymore. Why are you not going to? Is it us who made you get fired? What did we do to you? Have we offended you? So why is God the one who suffers the most? Just because something has happened to you? So what Mary says is, Lazarus, my brother, is dead. I've got an appointment with Jesus Christ. I'm going to see him. There's something wrong with our generation, folks. Something has to shift if we value Jesus Christ. You know, other faiths. I was at Manchester Airport the other time, early days. So I saw a sign that said, prayer room. I said, wow, there must be Christians in this airport. I actually have a prayer room in such a busy place. So I followed the sign because I had time to kill. So I followed the sign. I followed it through, followed it through, followed it through. When I get there, I'm like, oh, wow. So this is the prayer room here, because there were some people already there with their mats, facing a certain position, doing their thing. No sign of a cross, no sign of a Bible. I quickly retraced my way back where I came from. But you know what struck me? What struck me is the fact that for some people, it doesn't matter where they are, where they are going, where they are coming from. When it's time for prayer of their kind, they will go and pray. Our people. Need I say more? Then the last part I want to just close with is this. In John chapter 12, the perfume fills the room. There is silence for a minute or two because they were assessing. Is what we're smelling what we think it is? And Judas verifies, because he was the money guy, he verifies that this that we are smelling, gentlemen, we don't smell it everywhere all the time. It comes from far. And straight away, notice what comes out of his mouth. Next verse. What comes first is a nice spiritual response. It's like he tapped it from heaven, this response. Until you see the next verse, that what tells you that there's something wrong with this spiritual response. Because this guy is the guy we say he was covetous. We don't call him that anymore in this generation. He will be our financial director. But anyway, we don't call him that. But the reason he made that spiritual answer was so that he could benefit physically. So the reason he was following Jesus had nothing to do with spirituality. That's why. And so he goes on, next verse. What happened is they were now ganging on her, because other gospel writers say they then all went for Mary. They castigated her. They criticized her. They rebuked her. They told her off. They misunderstood her completely. Why was she being criticized? Because she was wasting on Jesus what was meant to benefit them. She was wasting her life. She was wasting her resources on God's kingdom. That was the reason the world was going against her. That was the reason the world was ganging against her. That's the reason she was being attacked for her faith and devotion to Jesus Christ. It's not new. It's not new when people are having a go at you. It's not new. It's happened already. And notice that Mary has no time to even defend herself. Mary does not respond. Why? Mary is looking at her master. Her attention is on her master. Her attention is not what's happening on the outside or what people are saying about her. She says, I have made up my mind. You can do whatever you want to do. If you're going to kill me in front of my master. It's even better that way. Go ahead. I'm not shifting from where I am. My position, my posture is at my master's feet. I am not changing. I am not shifting. I'm not going anywhere. My eyes, my focus is on Jesus Christ. Now, where are you? Where are you located? What is your posture like? Are you going to criticize they that have given themselves over to Jesus? Is that your occupation? Is that your profession? Is that what you do? Because there must be a place where you focus on Jesus Christ. There must be a place where nothing outside you moves you. Nothing. Your attention is on Jesus Christ, and alone is Him who has to occupy your heart. Don't be distracted. See, people are running different races. Your race is on its own. Jesus has called you. You have your own land. Stay on it. Don't join Judas in his stuff of pulling down God's people. Now, you will notice that. Here's the thing. While they're saying Mary is wasting her resources to Jesus Christ, actually, it is Judas who was wasting his life. It is Judas. Judas and the rest of the disciples missed an opportunity to show that devotion to Jesus Christ. Mary took his. Mary took the opportunity. It's as though God was warning the disciples, saying, you have an opportunity to glorify God. You have an opportunity to worship God. And I believe we have an opportunity today to choose Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity. Life is short. I'm sure you know that by now. Life is so short that by the time you figure out that, my goodness, I wish I could have served the Lord more when I was younger, when I was older, there's no time. There's no time. Martha took the opportunity. Are you taking yours? See, years are going. Most of you agreed with me and I said 2023 was a very short. It went quick. It's going to be quicker next year. And the year after. And the year after. Question is, are you taking your opportunities to serve God? Because Mary took hers. And the Bible says, this lady, what she did will be preached all over the world in memory of what she did. She wasn't a preacher. She wasn't a bishop. She wasn't an apostle. She wasn't a prophet. She was a lover of Jesus Christ. And today, we don't even remember Matthias, who took over from Judas, but we remember Mary, what she did. Will we remember you? You can decide.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.